Hello and welcome to the Mountain Brook Baptist Project 119 Bible Reading Plan Podcast. I'm Mary, and it's my pleasure on this Friday, May 8th, to welcome a guest to the podcast. Today we have reading for us Melinda Chapman. Melinda and her husband Tyler and their daughter Charlotte have been at Mountain Brook Baptist. She and Tyler started attending our fellowship in 2022. And they've been so active in the life of the church. I can't wait for you to hear more about her life and faith at the end of the podcast. But first, she'll read God's word for us. Thank you, Melinda, for joining us today.
Thank you for having me, Mary. I'm so excited to be here. The first passage I'm going to read is Genesis 19, 15 through 29, New International Version. This passage is about the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah and how God mercifully allowed Lot to escape while his wife turned back. Starting in verse 15, with the coming of dawn, the angels urged Lot, saying, "Hurry, take your wife and your two daughters who are here, or you will be swept away when the city is punished." When he hesitated, the men grasped his hand and the hands of his wife, and of his two daughters, and led them safely out of the city. For the Lord was merciful to them. As soon as they had brought them out, one of them said, "Flee for your lives. Don't look back, and don't stop anywhere in the plain. Flee to the mountains, or you will be swept away." But Lot said to them, "No, my lords, please. Your servant has found favor in your eyes, and you have shown great kindness to me in sparing my life. But I can't flee to the mountains. This disaster will overtake me, and I'll die. Look, here is a town near enough to run to, and it is small. Let me flee to it. It is very small, isn't it? Then my life will be spared." He said to him, "Very well, I will grant this request too. I will not overthrow the town you speak of, but flee there quickly, because I cannot do anything until you reach it." That is why the town was called Zoar. By the time Lot reached Zoar, the sun had risen over the land. Then the Lord rained down burning sulfur on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of the heavens. Thus he overthrew those cities and the entire plain, destroying all those living in the cities, and also the vegetation in the land. But Lot's wife looked back, and she became a pillar of salt. Early the next morning, Abraham got up and returned to the place where he had stood before the Lord. He looked down toward Sodom and Gomorrah, toward all the land of the plain, and he saw dense smoke rising from the land, like smoke from a furnace. So when God destroyed the cities of the plain, he remembered Abraham, and he brought Lot out of the catastrophe that overthrew the cities where Lot had lived. Our second passage today is Psalm 117. "Praise the Lord, all you nations. Extol him, all you peoples. For great is his love toward us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever. Praise the Lord."
Thank you so much, Melinda, for joining the podcast and for reading so beautifully for us. I have loved getting to know you since 2022. Feels like a lot longer. Tell me where you grew up and about your family.
I grew up in Florence, Alabama, which is about 2.5 hours north of Birmingham. John and Melanie Musgrove are my parents, and I have a twin brother, John, and a little sister, Camille. I moved to Birmingham in 2011, following my twin brother, who was already here in medical school at UAB. And Tyler and I married in 2019, and we have a 3-year-old daughter, Charlotte.
Now back up for me a little bit. Okay. How did you get to know Tyler?
Yes, well, we actually both graduated from the University of Alabama, but we did not cross paths there. We were both involved in the Rotaract Club of Birmingham, and we were on the annual ski trip together with friends, and we met there and just hit it off. And
on the slopes?
On the slopes. So It was after lunch one day, and I was with a group of friends, and he came over and said, "Hey, can I come ski with y'all?" And I was like, "Sure." And so we like skied the rest of the time and just had a great time.
And how long did you guys date? And then when did you get married?
We dated for about 5 years, and then we got married in 2019.
And then now Charlotte. How old is Charlotte? And yes. Tell us a little bit about her.
Oh, Charlotte just turned 3 on the 17th of April. And she is loving playing dress up and all the princess things, and also taking care of her babies. We have to stroll the babies a lot, burp the babies, feed the babies.
Does she name each of the babies?
Yes, she has named one big baby.
Big baby. Yeah. I love that.
And she is just now getting into arts and crafts, which is really fun too.
One thing I love is that she's in the Early Learning Center, and then that makes it an easy transition into Sunday mornings as well. What do you love about the ELC?
Oh, just, I mean, they've become family. They're so nurturing, and every day Charlotte is just learning so much, and she comes home and tells me all about, you know, what she learned and then what she did on the playground, and it's just such a community, too. We have a lot of our grace group, Sunday school class, has kids that are Charlotte's age, so that's really special to have their kids in the same age group as Charlotte.
You have a lot of giftedness. I want to know, is there a hidden talent maybe that you can share with us?
Oh, that's so nice of you to say. I absolutely adore and love being fully immersed in a creative project. And, you know, I've been like that since I was a little girl and creating vignettes and storylines for my American Girl dolls. And, you know, I have very fond and cherished memories of sewing doll clothes together with my precious mother. And I did have the privilege of being a White House Christmas decorator in 2020, as well as this past Christmas.
Wow. Now, I want to hear more about this.
It was truly wonderful in every way, and I worked with fellow decorators from all over the U.S. Everyone was so gracious and lovely, and it was a privilege and honor to bring Ms. Trump's theme of Home is Where the Heart Is to life. A little backstory that some people might not know is Jacqueline Kennedy started this tradition of the First Lady picking out an official theme every Christmas back in the 1960s.
Oh my goodness, what a wonderful opportunity. And I know that you did such a wonderful job because you are in the design world and you work in that industry as well.
Yes, I've worked for an interior design firm, and then now I'm currently working for a French antique dealer, and I also have a floral design business, so I'm at my happiest when I'm creating.
What is something that you and Tyler enjoy doing in your free time?
We love being in the outdoors and enjoying God's creation. One of our favorite things to do is walk the trail at Jemison Trail, and we love strolling Charlotte and just enjoying nature. And we still do ski trips together and hope to take Charlotte soon, and we enjoy golfing together as well.
Okay, would you rather cook dinner or would you rather go out to eat?
I'm going to be honest, probably go out to eat.
What's one of
your... Just because with a toddler, it's a little chaotic to try to cook and entertain her. Tyler and I love to go to Bottega. We recently celebrated our wedding anniversary and had a delicious meal there.
And if you're taking Charlotte, what does she like?
Well, she loves that Urban Cookhouse Piggy Mac.
Piggy Mac. Love that. All right. I think I know the answer to this, but do you prefer the mountains or the beach?
The mountains. Mm-hmm.
Especially yes. Since you have such a story of love tied to the mountains.
Yes.
In school, what was your favorite subject?
I would have to say history. Yes.
Do you have a specific era?
I love the 40s because America was so resourceful and they had to really come together to see us through World War II. And it's just, you know, I love hearing about the Victory Gardens and all of the ways that the women came to help in the factories and, you know, to become the workforce while the men were away fighting the war in Europe.
Did you read a lot about that or watch some kind of documentary? Would you commend anything to us?
AP history class in high school. I had a wonderful teacher who was great, and she really made history come to life.
And what was her name?
It was Miss Clark, Diane Clark. Mm-hmm.
One aspect of the podcast that is very important to me is hearing about your life of faith, how you came to faith in Christ, and what that journey has been like with him.
I grew up in a wonderful church surrounded by such strong women and men of faith that, you know, showed me the kindness and goodness of Jesus. And I have very fond memories of vacation Bible school and my mom teaching Sunday school. And also we hosted the annual fall festival every year at our house. So the church was just such an important part of our lives. And, you know, my parents set a beautiful example to my siblings and I on how to lead with a servant's heart and the power of prayer. When I came to faith in elementary school, it was such an exciting moment in my life. Just to know I'll always have a friend in Jesus who will see me through the peaks and the valleys of life.
What was the name of your church growing up, and was there a specific individual that sticks out to you?
It was First Methodist Church in Florence, and yes, Jana Sandlin, and she truly radiated the love of Christ, and she was so kind and just made everyone feel so special, seen, and she would just give you the biggest hugs and just filled you up with such encouragement as well.
And then how did you and Tyler make your way to Mountain Brook Baptist?
I got connected to Mountain Brook Baptist through Meredith Stutz in 22, and Mountain Brook Baptist has been such a blessing in my life. And Tyler and I adore our Grace group, Sunday school class, and enjoy growing in our faith together at Mountain Brook Baptist Church.
And you also help lead out some in the three-year-old Sunday school class, correct?
Yes, and it's so wonderful because Charlotte always looks forward to coming to church on Sundays, which is so sweet and special. And the teachers are also nurturing. And last year it was, you know, Charlotte was just learning to talk and Jan Rice was teaching her all these songs and she was saying, Jesus loves me. And oh, it was just wonderful to hear. And then this year I've been a class helper for Miss Grace Ann, and I wish everyone could hear the children and see their faces as we sing He's Got the Whole World in His Hands, especially the part where we say He's got the trees and the birds tweet in His hands. We do this little hand motion for the bird, and oh, they giggle in such heavenly delight. It is just the sweetest sight.
Oh, I wish we could all see it. Maybe we can get Grace Ann on here to lead us in that song.
Yes, she is. I mean, she is amazing. She has those kids, like, they're doing the hand motions and singing so loudly for Jesus. It's so wonderful.
Melinda, it is so neat to see you and your husband Tyler serving together with the associate deacons. Share with us more about that ministry.
Yes, it's under Mark's leadership, and we've just really enjoyed being greeters and serving the Lord's Supper. And it's just been so great to be with the other associate deacons and just to have that community and to meet more people in the church. And we are really enjoying our time serving together in that way.
Melinda, you have been such a source of joy and encouragement to me. You've helped with flowers for different events. You do an Easter egg hunt with your Sunday morning Bible study class. And at our Foster Parents Night Out last year, you created, talking about creative expression, this Christmas tree farm. What was the inspiration for that farm? And what were some of your favorite takeaways from the night?
Oh, that's so kind of you to say, Mary. And the Christmas tree farm idea came about because of my mom's passion for creating nurturing seasonal rhythms and traditions growing up. She was just pure sunshine and joy, and I always loved the family seasonal traditions that she did for our whole family. And, you know, I lost my mom to pancreatic cancer in 2020. And it truly brings me immense joy to carry on her spirit through ways like this. She loved creating creative joy and letting children use imaginative play to explore their God-given talents. And, you know, in my opinion, creativity has such a profound healing power. And I thought it would be a great opportunity to give the Foster children a chance to have a tree to take with them and bring out yearly to start a tradition of their own. You know, and I know Foster children they're just emotionally exhausted from their past experiences. And what Mountain Brook Baptist has created in this night for them is so special. And it's just been such an honor to be a part of it. So to build out the experience, I had the help of the volunteers from the women's ministry, and they were so awesome and helpful. And we did some different sessions where they helped me to put the ornaments together and cut the ribbon and cut all the trimmings and fluff the trees. And we just had the best time. And then the night of, I loved seeing their eyes light up as they figured out, you know, exactly where they wanted to place the ornaments on their tree. And they do the tinsel or they do the ribbon. And then we glittered the stars to top the trees. And I knew the girls would just love it. I knew that would be the case. But the boys, they really got into it.
They did.
Yes.
They loved it as well.
I remember this little boy, Carlos. He was just so meticulous with his tree. And I mean, he just had everything just so coordinated and beautifully done. And I also like to see their expression and how each individual tree was different and beautiful in its own way. And it was just such a night of joy, and I know my mom was shining down and just loving every minute of seeing these children having fun and being nurtured.
It was just a wonderful experience, and we just thank you for using your creative talents and for gifting each of the children a tree. It was a really special occasion and a beautiful way to honor your mom. As we think about your mom and just the grief that you've experienced, would you share with us what you've learned about yourself and the Lord in the midst of suffering?
Grief has been a lot of hard valleys, but, you know, I hold on to the joy. She's healed and she's in heaven with Jesus. You know, and God's love and kindness sustained me, and it's truly lifted me out of the sadness and continues to strengthen me. And I love the hymn that we sang a few weeks back titled Love Lifted Me, because that has rung so true in this season of my life. All of my mom's friends have rallied around us, and each friend brings a little bit of my mom into our lives. So I feel like although my mom's not with us physically, there's ways that she is with us, you know, through friends and through all the things that she taught me, and then through the seasonal rhythms and traditions that she did in our family life.
With Mother's Day coming up this Sunday, I know that you're thinking of her, and I know your intentionality. So is there something specific that you'll do to remember your mom?
Yes, my mom loved roses, and she had beautiful rose bushes at home, and so she would always clip roses and make these exquisite little arrangements and have them around the house. So I'm going to carry on that tradition with Charlotte, because I think she's at the age where she can, you know, put them in the vase and help me arrange them. So I'm really looking forward to that moment and reflect back on all of the ways that she poured into me and made me who I am today, and especially her legacy of loving kindness.
As you are raising Charlotte, are there ways or spiritual rhythms that you incorporate to help her learn about the Lord?
Yes, Charlotte and I have enjoyed doing nature walks together ever since she was a little girl in our backyard. I have fond memories of wrapping her in her little blanket and just holding her, and we just walk around the backyard, just immersed in God's beauty and creation, and just saying sweet little prayers together and just praying over her and over family and friends. And, you know, we've continued that tradition. And now that Charlotte's talking and able to comprehend a little bit more, she can contribute to the prayers, which has been so great to hear, you know, what's on her little mind. And she's very into praying over her dog, Daisy. So that's been sweet, which I've had Daisy for 16 years. So to see that bond grow is really a great thing. But yeah, that's been a really nice thing that we do together. And then we love singing Jesus Loves Me together, which was one of my mom's favorite songs.
Backing up to the Easter season, it was so precious to see Charlotte participate in Journey to the Cross. Tell us about that night and the concept, and then what were some of your takeaways?
Yes, we had a wonderful time as a family, and they had different interactive stations set up. And one of the stations was that Charlotte enjoyed was the Magna Doodle, and you would write sin, and then, you know, you would erase it, so she'd know that, you know, you asked for God's forgiveness and that He will erase your sin. And then the drama that was put on by the student ministry really touched her little heart. It was so special because, you know, after they finished, she said, "Where did Jesus go? He went to the cross. Where is He now?" And, you know, we were able to say, you know, "He's in your heart now, Charlotte." And, you know, ever since that moment, she's, you know, she'll just say, you know, "Jesus went to the cross and now He's in my heart." So it's just so, so special to have the children's ministry touch the littlest of hearts and have such an impact and plant the seeds of faith so early. And, you know, we were able to be with little Mary Cameron Holcomb, her friend from the ELC, during that play, and they both were just very interested in it and wanted to know all about Jesus and His journey. So it was a really, I will always cherish that memory.
Did you want to make any comments about either of the passages?
Yes, the Psalm 117. I love that part where it's, "For great is His steadfast love toward us, and the faithfulness of the Lord endures forever." I actually have a watercolor that kind of summarizes that. I look at it, you know, in the morning, or if I've had kind of a hard day, I kind of look at it at night just to remember God's love and that He'll see me through. And one of the things that my dad always says, "The Lord will provide, and, you know, you are not alone, and He is there with you for the highs and the lows of life." And that's been so true. And just love this little watercolor. It says, "The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is Your faithfulness." And it just, oh, it gives my heart so much hope and just peace.
Melinda, it has been such a privilege to know you and to hear you talk about your mom, your life, your faith. Would you end our time together with prayer?
Sure, I'd love to. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You for the gift of the day and for the joy that comes from Your presence. Fill our hearts with Your peace so we can be a light and a source of encouragement to those around us. We rejoice in Your faithfulness and find strength in Your love. In Jesus' name, amen.